Welcome to Seek Reality with your host, Roberta Grimes. Author and attorney Roberta Grimes will explore and illustrate how she, after an extraordinary experience of light in childhood, has discovered channels of communication to the afterlife and how these implications have an effect on our everyday lives. Please welcome the host of Seek Reality, Roberta Grimes.
Welcome to Seek Reality. I'm Roberta Grimes, and we're coming to you live on the BBM Global Network and TuneIn Radio. Nearly all the leading researchers in the broad field of afterlife communication are at or near retirement age. We're old, and growing old delights us, of course, because we know where we're going. And in fact, we're already planning the parties. But we're also coming to realize that we're going to be watching the ultimate breakthroughs in our field from the bleacher seats. So nurturing the next generation of afterlife researchers has become a big priority for us. We've already interviewed a number of these rising lights on Seek Reality, and we're going to be talking with a lot more. There's no more united and mutually supportive group of people on the face of the earth than those who are privileged to do this work. Our guest today is Keith Clark. Now, Keith has been a prodigy in the field of electronic transcommunication. We call it ITC, and it simply means electronic communication with people we used to think were dead. We're not talking mediums, we're talking machinery. He began doing this work at 29, and he's been communicating with his own private spirit team using ITC for the past 10 years. I want to hear about that. Keith now heads a cutting-edge team of researchers who are working to bring about a revolution in the production of afterlife evidence. His website is idigitalmedium.com. It coordinates the efforts of serious researchers around the world who are working on electronic afterlife communication. Get this. It works with researchers in Russia, Brazil, France, Germany, the Netherlands, China, and India. Most of us now feel that the ultimate scientific proof that human minds are eternal is going to be produced with ITC. Keith Clarks is a name that you are going to be hearing. So we're thrilled to have him as our guest today. Welcome, Keith. I'm so glad you're here.
I'm thrilled to be here. Thank you for having me, Roberta.
Now, I know a little about your past, but not much. I think I heard you once say that you had a misspent youth, and then you sort of became fascinated with this field when you're late 20s. Tell us a little about that.
I had to cut straight to the story. I was a drug addict. In my late 20s, I was a late bloomer. And once I saw the error of my ways and changed from that, my attention became drawn to life after death. Needless to say, all of that misspent energy was then redirected into a good cause.
And good
you
for
could
you.
Say that I found, like you could say that I found my purpose after that.
That's wonderful. So how did you get started? I mean, was it a general interest in the afterlife, or did you sort of discover ITC pretty quickly?
There was a couple of catalysts. The movie White Noise, which is very popular and actually opened many people's minds towards ITC. My friend had seen it, and he called me and said, "Have you seen this?" And I said, "No," and I watched it. And he said, "Did you know that it's based on real events?" And so I had downloaded Sarah Estep's book, her first one, and it sat there for 6 months until the day that I opened it and read it. And once I read it, naturally I wanted to see for myself. And the rest is history.
Now, Sarah Estep is one of the leaders in the sort of the history of this field, which goes back to the 80s, right? And even 70s. Is that right?
Yes. She's one of the pioneers, and I have to give her great credit. I mean, the fact that she published that book for free is part of the reason why I read it. And so from that goes other things. So it was her way of, I guess you'd call it, paying forward. That then in turn helped me and in turn will help other people.
This is an area where I don't have much knowledge. So one of the reasons I'm glad you're with us is you can help to enlighten all of us, including me, about how this works. It's lately been very much in the news in our field. I really don't recall having it be anything but a curiosity. Even in the 90s and in the aughts, I wasn't hearing about it much and didn't pay it much attention. And then suddenly we start hearing that it's going to be the way that this all is going to happen. And I've heard some amazing communications received that way, as I'm sure you have as well. There's some on your website. What did you quickly get into this field? Did you, was it your own work? Did you study what Mark Macy and others had done? I mean, how did you even begin to do this?
Most certainly. I would say that Mark Macy's website, worlditc.org, that he built with himself and another gentleman, still stands as one of the largest repositories of information in the world. And it's because of that 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 inspired the next generation. So a person could spend a week on that website, and it's highly recommended as one of the first ones to visit.
It's worlditc.org, no punctuation. I've been there, and it overwhelmed me. I couldn't even begin to listen to all of the stuff that was there. But I think it should be stressed that there are some crystal clear communications on that website and on others, which were received by reputable people on their phones or in through black box machines or however, in the voice of and from people known to be dead. One of those is enough to prove human consciousness survives. There are, what, hundreds, wouldn't you say, more at this point of these communications, and still we have a scientific community that has its ears plugged with its fingers and its eyes tight shut, which is unfortunate. But you seem to be doing this as a scientist, right? You're trying to do it in a very disciplined way.
Certainly. Well, there's a saying I have, and I think many people may resonate with it, and it's, if you're a scientist, then be a good scientist. If you're not, then be good at who you are. Meaning there was an expectation, it seemed, in the 90s and after 2000 for, I'll say, common folk or layperson to try to prove life after death. My angle of it is if a person begins to develop spiritually and continues to do their experiments and continue to work with spirit, eventually the proof will come to them. They won't need to go search for it. So I don't have any scientific credentials, therefore I can never present myself as a scientist.
Well, I'll tell you something. I don't have any scientific credentials either, and I present myself at this point as a scientist. This is what we're stuck with, everyone. We're stuck with well-meaning, intelligent people having to do the science until eventually real scientists with training will admit that there's something here to be studied. So I welcome you to this community of non-scientific scientists with great glee, Keith, because I think what you're doing is remarkable, and I think you should be proud of it. You should be proud that you're doing real science. It doesn't take a PhD in physics to be a really good scientist. All it takes is curiosity and discipline in one's research, and you're doing that beautifully. So welcome to the group. And I would just say, you know, one more thing. I think it's important everyone listening understand that what Keith said is actually true and important. We need to be the very best at what we are. But we also need to understand that the truth is the truth. And if it takes people who are not scientists to explore that truth and get it ready for the people who are with training to maybe start it, that's okay. What I'd like to do, as you can see, I'm not an expert at all. I'd like to hear from you, Keith, how it works. What is it, and why does it work?
Certainly. Well, instrumental transcommunication, referred to commonly as ITC, in other countries it may be called ITK or have other abbreviations, TCI. It was a term coined by Dr. Ernst Senkowski, who is now on the other side. In a nutshell, it means communicating, and I'm paraphrasing here, with people who are not in our current physical space or time, and communicating with them through electronics. Now, we commonly think of them as people who have lived here on Earth at previous lifetime, and they are now on the other side. That's commonly what ITC is known as.
They're not always, however, dead people, right? There are sometimes, this is such a big field, we can't do all of it, but I want people to understand that my understanding is that there are sometimes people who've never been in bodies who communicate this way too. So there's a lot of people to talk to, let's just say that. And what kind of electronics do you use?
traditionally, EVP, which is electronic voice phenomena, is the most common and still most widely used form. And basically what it was when it started was you take a tape recorder, you're by yourself, you press record, you ask questions out loud, and upon playback of the tape, you would hear what appeared to be replies to your questions and statements. That's what EVP is. A lot of things have changed and grown since then, but that is still the most common denominator. There are also people that take pictures with cameras. We were familiar with orbs and things of that nature. However, there's a lot of work being done with water and the reflection of light, and that's also a very popular area. So people would take pictures, say, in a pot of water with light being reflected, and they would see things that over time would be present and would appear to be people and places. Those are the two most common forms.
They look like photographs, though, right? I've seen some of them. It looks like maybe a slightly blurry or maybe even not blurry photograph. I'm amazed at that.
That's correct. And the pictures in water, it's still a very, I'd say, unexplained and unknown phenomenon because we don't know how much of that is being, how much of it's real and how much of it is being perhaps generated by the experimenter's mind. We don't know about that. It's something that's very difficult to prove.
Fascinating. So my understanding is, and the white noise would be they play chopped up syllables, right, in the background while the recorder is running. So it doesn't, there's no words on these tapes, but it's human-like sounds, right? Well, how do they do that, and why do they do that?
Sure, I'd like to give a, if I may, give a simple explanation. What happens is sound is an energy wave. It's a wave that energy expresses itself here. When we clap our hands, it creates an energy wave. We can't see it, but we can hear it. Now, when there's energy available, people in spirit are able to use that energy to talk. Sometimes they can talk without that energy, but it takes a lot of effort on their part. So, as a result, a lot often people will use sounds in the background to give people in spirit available energy so that they can attempt to talk and be able to be heard better.
Okay, so the reason for the sound is that it's a form of energy, and it gives the speaker, who may not be an extremely advanced being or might be, sufficient energy to be able to make the speech happen, right? That's because for a layperson, you can understand. It's a little confusing. I'm here, and they hear words, and they hear, and they hear words again. And this is, for me, this is like, what? And I think other people hearing it think that too. But you're saying that at this stage of electronic communication, it's probably necessary in most cases to be doing that, to be playing that those sounds?
I would not say necessary. I would say it is certainly commonplace. And we're going to find that when energy is provided, I call it riding a wave. It sounds kind of ridiculous, but it's like a surfer.
No.
A wave comes in, they jump on the wave, and they ride it. So when a sound wave comes in, they jump on that wave and they ride that sound wave and they put their voice on top of it. So it's going to be a common technique that's going to continue to evolve to where there, enough energy can eventually be sustained to where we can hear them talking nonstop. EVP is usually known to be only a word, two or three words, a short phrase. We're going to get to the point where we're going to be able to recognize that we're able to hear them nonstop. That's where this is going.
That's fascinating. And one of the things that surprises me, frankly, is that they can produce their own voices. Now let's think of why this is amazing, just for people who aren't aware of how things work in the levels of reality that are not physical. They communicate by mind. They don't talk the way you and I talk. They probably can, but they just don't. It's just they say it's much easier to communicate by mind. So they do. So when they want to talk to us here, they're going to have to use words, and they can produce, somehow they remember, without a voice box, they remember what their voice sounded like, and they can produce it so you recognize the voice of your loved one. Don't you think that's amazing?
It's a very common thing. Not only do they recreate their voice. Whenever images or pictures are seen, they will usually recreate how they believe their loved ones would recognize them.
Isn't that amazing? The mind is so powerful. I don't think we begin to. There are estimates we come to Earth with less than 10% of what is really our eternal mind. We basically strip down to our gym clothes to go to the gym and try to learn spiritually. And wow, what a difference it makes when you have your whole mind there. You can do these amazing things. The dead are all energy. They walk around in a place as solid as it is here, and they live like real lives there. And because the joke is, of course, we're energy too. We just think we're solid. But there they are in a totally different reality, and they're able to communicate with us, and we can recognize their voices. Sherry Pearl is a wonderful experimenter in this field who is connecting parents with their children, and the parents can recognize the voices of their children. I think that's the most extraordinary thing. And what a blessing it is to so many people who have been in such grief. So let's go back and talk a little more about how this works. And why it works and how reliable it is. If someone said, I want to do that, I'm going to do that, and maybe got directions from your site or Mark's and started, how likely is it to be successful, and how soon would it be successful?
Well, Roberta, I'd have to say that if I claimed to have all the answers to that, I would certainly be presumptuous of me. I can say that... there is a lot of information out there. At this time, there don't appear to be that many forms of education where a person can begin immediately and say, for example, take a course and learn how to, say, for example, record for EVP. Craig's efforts with AREI, or the Afterlife Research and Education Institute, they developed a method where they teach people how to do that, so that's available. ATRANS, the Association Transcommunication with Tom and Lisa Butler, that is the known resource for EVP, electronic voice phenomena in the world. So I would say that what's important here is not necessarily that a person can jump into it. What's important is to note that what we've learned over the last couple of decades is that communication with spirit is involves spiritual development as much as it does technical. So a couple decades ago, it was all the focus was on technical, or the majority of it was. As a result, ITC then appeared to diminish somewhat. And we're told that it's important that people develop their own personal relationship with spirit. And to bring that into layman's terms, it just means learning to trust your intuition. That's all it comes down to. And one thing we like to encourage people to do is follow your intuition. It doesn't matter who says what about what technique you would like to use. If it's your intuition, you follow it and you go with it. So in that regard, education is important. Everybody needs to start with education, and we're all still learning. So read what's out there, learn about the history, then pick a technique, try it out, ask for help, and then your intuition will help develop as you go.
That's lovely. Thank you for that. I would say one more thing, too. In all fields of investigating the afterlife, remember, we're dealing with spirit. And spirit knows exactly what's going on in your mind. So if you're feeling negative at all, if you're saying this is never going to work, it won't work. Guaranteed. Or if you're saying, I'm going to just show how this works, but prove it doesn't, and see, and I'm going to debunk it, won't work for you, guaranteed. To have an open mind, to have an open heart spiritually is, in this field, very important, because the facts that we are going after are spiritual facts. All facts are spiritual facts, it turns out. It's just that science has worked out ways to use mathematics to get around that. But in the end, we're going to find out it's all spirit. There's something else. So that's how one would get started if one wanted to. And I want to talk about your website, because it's such a great resource. It's called iDigitalMedium.com. And you have a whole team of people there, right, who are working on various aspects of this?
We do. And often you'll hear me refer to things publicly as we. We can mean myself and my team. It can also mean the team of people in spirit. It's never just an individual. Currently we have, I can't remember, somewhere between 5 and 7 volunteers in the world, and we're about to pick up some more. And we can't do what we do without the help of these people. They're involved in everything from public events, private events, translation of articles from other countries. Part of what we're doing is networking with other countries in the world, because there seem to have been these invisible barriers. We wouldn't know what's going on in Germany. Germany wouldn't necessarily know what's going on in the United States. And there were these barriers everywhere, and we're trying to break those down and begin to work together. Part of how we do that is we have a team member sort of embedded who's bilingual usually. And so we have team members help with different facets of the website. There's Facebook, there's YouTube, there's social media. I mean, when we started, the idea was nobody's a superhuman. So what would happen if everybody did a little piece instead of one person trying to do everything? And that was the model that we began with. And the volunteers are an extremely important part. And shameless plug, we always need more volunteers. There will never be a time when we will not need volunteers.
No, that's not shameless at all. That's absolutely central to what we're talking about, because people listening, some of them are going to be saying, okay, I'd like to try that. Now, if people wanted to help, how would they contact you to do that?
We have emails plastered all over the website. There's actually a volunteer webpage on our website where they can contact us. But they can contact me anywhere. Facebook, any of the avenues that they can find us. We're very easy to find.
Okay, and the kind we don't need to go in detail into the kinds of volunteers you need, but basically it's probably all kinds of things, right? So whatever skills people have, they can probably be of service if they want to be.
That's correct. The short version of it is, we want it to be fun, we want it to be interesting, we want to not take a lot of your time, and we want to be creative. That's it. That's how it should be for those of us that are not scientists per se.
Yeah, but it should be fun for scientists too. If it's not, I mean, anyone who would title her first book in this field "The Fun of Dying," fun is kind of central to me. If it's not fun, don't do it. Absolutely. But the iDigital medium, hard to say, does a variety of things. And one of the things that strikes me as very important is that you talk about some of the pioneers in this field and what they've done. I mean, these people were ignored altogether at the time by traditional science. And I think if for nothing else, go there and read about the Harsh Fish Box. I don't know how to say their name. Read about these pioneers and the wonderful things they've been able to do. What Keith is doing is instrumental transcommunication with people we used to think were dead, and with others as well. And those working in this field are having tremendous success. We believe this is how we're finally going to be able to beat scientists over the head enough to make them look at what it is we found, which is a greater reality, maybe 20 times at least the size of the universe, and wonderful things to be discovered there. The iDigitalMedium.com website is a great resource. You have a partner who helped you develop it, right? Or maybe you helped him?
I do. His name is Ron Reese. He's the man largely responsible for all of the historical items that you see. There's a lot of stuff in iDigital Medium that was not publicly available until Ron made it so. He's been with me since the days of the ITC Bridge website, probably going on 10 years now, and he's the one responsible. He's very good at finding things and disseminating them so that we can observe our history, so we learn from it and don't repeat it, so if it's something that, you know, shouldn't be repeated.
Wow. Well, good for him. Well, thank you, Ron. We all appreciate what you're doing. Let's talk about some of the things you've seen and you're working on now, because some of it sounds pretty exotic to me, using sound to get to just work. Because let me just make a point to everyone. It isn't just Keith and Ron and my friend Craig and others who are doing ITC. The real movers in this are people not in bodies. And very often, they're the ones who lead the experiments. And apparently, some of the things they're working on with you, Keith, are kind of amazing. Tell us what some of them are.
One of them is, at one point in time, I heard of a musician who put his faith in the sound in his album. What that means is, if you use a program called a spectrograph or spectrogram, which displays sound as a picture, for example, by saying, ah, and on the picture you would see a straight line, you'd see that note. And when I read about that, how he put his picture into his song, I said, well, I wonder if people in spirit can put their pictures into sound.
Oh.
And so we started to work on it, and over a period of time, it became apparent that they could. They could use their thoughts to create their pictures on a screen, live in real time. This is coming over radio static. And they continue to do so. That's been 7 years. It's quite difficult to achieve, but they work very hard at it.
All right. Now, I'm sort of staggered by this. It looks like the person. You're playing. How do you do this? You play music? And where does the face appear?
That's actually a different aspect, and that's set aside for, we will call them public and private seances. So that's different. We don't need to play any music. They come through plain static with their faces, with nothing.
Oh.
No radio broadcast, no talking, no music, just and they impress their faces upon that.
Wow, and it appears like on a TV screen or something, or on a computer monitor?
Yes, yes. Now, think about the implications. If they were able to do that fast enough, and the program would show their face fast enough for each successive face or picture, you could essentially one day have what would be similar to TV, because you can hear them through sound.
Oh, wow!
And if you can see them through the sound, then you could have TV, right?
So I just love it. Oh, my. Coming to you live from the afterlife, here are your loved ones with our host, Saint Stephen, Saint someone, Saint Michael. Isn't that amazing? I just love it. The future is going to make everything that's ever happened in the past so pallid. We're going to say, wow, we've been living in this little dot, this universe, which is a tiny part of what exists, and we're going to be able to open our minds and hearts to such a huge reality. What else have you been doing that's going to blow our minds?
Well, I think something that's important that people know and understand is people in spirit are very excited. They work daily side by side with us, and not just one or two, hundreds of them, thousands of them, perhaps even more. Some of the things that we do is we'll live stream on Facebook, just impromptu. And what we'll live stream is an audio experiment from the radio or something to that effect, and sometimes pictures. And so it's gotten to the point to where I'm in tune to be able to hear them over the radio. And they talk about Facebook. They talk about how everybody's connected. They talk about how we use computers. They talk about how they want to send their pictures. Unfortunately, they also talk about politics and other things of that nature. They talk just like we're talking right now.
They're colleagues,
people just
I
like
know.
Us. Right.
people should understand that this is true. Even if they've been theoretically, quote, dead for quite a while, they're very up on what's going on here day to day. I think that's one of the things that really surprises me, but it's very true. They know exactly what's going on, and they can see much more clearly than we, so they can game out the future in ways we cannot even imagine. Wow. So where do they expect to go from this? What are they saying? How do they think this is going to be successful, and do they have a time frame at all?
Well, I think time frames would be inappropriate to ever guesstimate personally. I can say that the emphasis should – here's the thing. We know from our past history that needs to be balanced, meaning that education and self-development needs to coincide – with the technical side. It can never be all technical, and it obviously can't never be all spiritual, because you won't have the technical present. So what's important is that we continue, and the way it looks like from what I'm seeing and hearing is that we'll continue to slowly open the awareness of people, and there may be ways in which a mass of people may have access to things that will allow them to tune into spirit and develop their intuitive faculties. Meaning, for example, if they had something like a radio stream or a physical device, they could listen to it and they could develop their own mediumship. But the end game is for us to not need any devices.
Not need any devices? Wow. All right. So you say that the goal is that one day we won't even need the electronics. Talk about that.
Well, here's the question. So if everybody had in their possession, in their hands right now, a device where you could talk to spirit and they would give you the answers or whatever, you communicate, what would happen? Would we continue our personal spiritual development and evolution as a species, as humankind? Probably not. So ITC is a tool that they're using to help assist us in remembering who we are and developing our intuition and being able to awaken our intuitive faculties, to raise our consciousness as a whole. That's the objective of the game. So it's actually unfeasible for anybody to be able to have direct two-way conversations right now unless it coincided with education on why it's there, what to do with it, and the purpose.
Beautifully said. I think it's important that everybody understand that all of this research is not about necessarily just comforting the grieving. It's about working with spirit to do what they consider to be the most important thing to be done on the earth right now, which is to raise human consciousness over all the earth. And since all our minds are part of one mind, it's if we're doing it here and there and if all these people are doing it in spots all over the world, it can't help but raise the consciousness of evil, what we would think of as the most evil people on the earth. This is a process we're all involved in together. And what I have found, and I think probably Keith, everyone who works in this field has found, that once you really get the human minds are eternal, and this is a great way to prove it. Once you get that, you're never the same again. You're thinking on an eternal scale, and thinking on an eternal scale, you live, you act, you think, you move, you just are very different altogether and forever. Don't you find that's true, Keith? It's the most amazing thing to watch.
I do, and one thing I would like to highlight, if not more so than everything else, is that part of what we do as a team and what other people in the field are trying to do is to inspire people to remember and to recognize that we all have the inherent ability to develop ourselves as mediums. Everybody. There are no exceptions. It doesn't mean you're a practicing medium. There's still a distinction between those who practice professionally and our own development. However, the old thought process that you're either born with it or you aren't, or you have it or you don't, I would say, from my own personal opinion, is a fallacy. We can all develop it, and the more people we inspire to take that path, the more changes we'll begin to see in the world.
We are all mediums, and the reason that that's true is that we're all parts of one mind. Everybody who has ever lived and everybody living now as a mind which is connected to all other minds by virtue of the fact that we're part of one universal mind. That being the case, everybody, you can talk to everybody. You just have to believe you can. And that's, I think, the biggest obstacle we face. Once we're past the belief issue, they don't survive. Well, yes, they do, and we can prove it. Once you get that, then you start to open. I mean, I realize now that I'm psychic. I always insisted I wasn't. Not me, but indeed everybody is. Thank you for sharing that. You did the same thing. We're getting it now, and we're trying to help everyone else get it too, because once you really understand that you're living on an eternal scale, it changes everything in your life. I say that to you every week. Now, how would people reach you? Please give all the websites first, including, Mark Macy's and Tom, all the people's websites.
Sure. Well, perhaps the easiest way would be to go to our website, which is the letter I, digitalmedium.com. We have a lot of different efforts, and there's actually a website page on there. And in that website page, you will find 350 more websites related to life after death.
Wow.
So we're trying to make it easy for people to find the resources that you're looking for. In addition, there's Facebook, there's YouTube, there's Twitter. Just type in iDigital Medium, all one word, in Google, and you'll find all the resources that you need to find. And like I said, all those other websites we're linked to, and if we're not, we find them, and people can actually automatically add their own websites to that in 2 minutes. Automatic, we call it.
Automagic. That's one of the reasons we need these younger people working on all of this, because you grew up with computers and it just seems normal to you. It still seems kind of amazing to people who are well past retirement age. I think the important thing we both want you to take away from this, everyone, is this is just one more aspect of all the different ways that those we used to think are dead are working in the world to try to help us wake up. As Keith said, wake up to who and what you really are, which is a powerful, eternal being. That's what they're doing. This is work not engineered by us. Those of us who are doing it now came in. We forgot about the fact that we came in as volunteers to do this. And then our guide said, this is your job. This is your job, Keith. You got to stop with whatever it is you're doing. It's like a misspent youth and you've got to get serious. That's what happens. Many of the people listening now have a part to play. It may not be time for you to be triggered in it yet. It wasn't for me really time until I was in my, I was almost 60 years old. But nonetheless, it's going to come to many of you that you're playing a little part. Think of it as a gigantic tapestry, and each of us is putting one stitch into that tapestry. And when the tapestry is completed, humanity will be perfected. We will all have our consciousnesses elevated. We will never die, and we'll never have another, not just another war, we'll never have another disagreement. That's where we're going. Human consciousness is being perfected now. And I'm very grateful, Keith, that we don't have to lead it. We're just the foot soldiers. Do you have any last thoughts for people? What would you encourage them to do most?
I would encourage people to follow their intuition and think for themselves. That's more important than anything. You'll know what you feel. Research. If you really want to know if life after death is real, there are plenty of avenues to go and look for yourselves, whether it be physical mediumship, whether it be ITC, whether it be education through books, channeled writings. You could spend a lifetime. And over a period of time, what's important and what we found is that each person comes to their own truth in their own time.
Beautifully said. Well, thank you, Keith. It's been wonderful having you here, and we're going to need to have you back and kind of keep tabs on what you're doing. You've been listening to Seek Reality with Roberta Grimes on the BBM Global Network and TuneIn Radio. I am so glad you've been with us today. Hasn't this been a wonderful conversation? My dear friends, you are a powerful, eternal being. You never began, you never will end. And when you really understand what that means, it's going to change everything in your eternal life for the better. Next week, our guest for the umpteenth time will be my dear friend, Dr. R. Craig Hogan. Craig is another leader in the field of instrumental transcommunication, so we're going to talk a bit about that with him. But Craig is also the president of the Afterlife Research and Education Institute, of which I am delighted and honored to be a board member. He and I will together announce a wonderful symposium on cutting-edge afterlife communication to be held in September of 2017. If this field interests you at all, you're going to want to hear what Craig and I are up to now, so please join us. This week, our guest has been Keith Clark. Keith is a brilliant young man. He's a leader in the generation of afterlife researchers that's going to break the greatest news in all of human history. We're leading up to it. Keith is going to be one of the ones who breaks it. I hope his work serves as an inspiration to you. My dear friends, in many ways, this period of history is the start of a new age of exploration, and there's room on this new frontier for you. If you want to be part of it, jump in. News is going to come down over the next few years that's going to change everything. And if you're someone who has energy who would just like to contribute, there's room in this for you. You can be on the frontier. You can be one of the ones who's waving the banners. You can make it work. Welcome, welcome to our glorious shared future. Meanwhile, I should mention that my nonfiction books are Liberating Jesus, My Thomas, The Fun of Dying, The Fun of Staying in Touch, and The Fun of Growing Forever. That's where they are for now, but by the time you're hearing this, there may be more because we're working on some more nonfiction. And I also write fiction. This is what I do to clear my head. Chieftain's Maiden and Jack in Love begin a 7-novel saga that uses what we're learning from the dead to explore whether we might at last be able to advance the development of humankind and bring about the dawn of an eternally peaceful and loving world. Please check them out if you like to read fiction. You can find recent episodes of Seek Reality on bbmglobalnetwork.com. Earlier episodes are being rebroadcast on Green Vision 7 Radio and on the X-Zone Broadcast Network and on its affiliates worldwide at xzbn.net. Seek Reality is also available as free podcasts on webtalkradio.net and on iTunes. So we're trying to get around. We'd like to have you sort of wherever you go, we'd like to sort of have you meet up with us and maybe find a podcast or a radio show you haven't heard yet. For more information about where I'm broadcasting at the moment, to read my blog, or if you'd like to get in touch with me, please go to robertagrimes.com and understand I do answer my emails. Sometimes I say, if you don't hear in 24 hours, send flowers. And unfortunately, I'm getting so many now that there are times when it's closer to 48 hours. But if you don't hear from me within that time, don't hesitate to send another contact. I want to hear from you, and I want to be able to answer your questions. That's why I live. That's what I enjoy most doing, is hearing from people. So don't hesitate if it feels like the right thing for you to do. All of us are working together. What I said at the end of the last segment about that tapestry is true. Each person who is in any way involved in this field has a little part to play. That little part is essential to the whole. If the tapestry is not going to be perfect unless each of us is doing our own little part. I'm trying to introduce you to as many of the people as I can who are doing this work. And you in your own way are doing it too, because a big part of that tapestry is all of the people who weave it together. I mean, that all of us together make one whole, and we will prevail. Meanwhile, this has been Seek Reality with Roberta Grimes. Please enjoy and make the most of this coming week in our one reality, knowing that you are a powerful, eternal being, and you are infinitely loved.
This has been Seek Reality with your host, Roberta Grimes. Tune in each week and discover the nature of reality and God, past, present, and future, in a way that can only be told by Roberta Grimes on the next episode of Seek Reality.